God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue our sermon theme through the Gospel of Luke, we run across Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50, as our three-year lectionary brings up. And I'm sort of entitling this message for today, Got Forgiveness. Sounds a little weird, at least as far as the grammar is concerned in English, got forgiveness, but I'm picking up, as you can probably figure, the phrase, got milk, which was a very good and excellent ad campaign for the milk industry. It got people to start thinking about milk, start drinking about milk, and probably even just me mentioning this right now, you're probably getting thirsty and going, maybe I need a glass of milk. But I want to phrase it down now a different way. Instead of looking at milk, we're going to be looking at forgiveness. Do you have forgiveness? Are you 100% assured that through the person and work of Jesus Christ, through the faith that He has given to you, that you now stand before our Lord and Savior 100% forgiven? It is my hope and my prayer that you are able to say, yes, Pastor, I do believe I have the forgiveness that comes from God. If you're in a little bit of doubt, I have to encourage you, hang on a little bit. I'm going to ask you that same question at the end of this message. Let's go through our text from Luke and see what occurred to Jesus. First of all, this whole Luke in chapter 7, there's a little bit of a dialogue and exchange going on between Jesus and the Pharisees. At this moment, the Pharisees were still a little unsure about Jesus. So, at least one of them, his name is Simon, decided to invite Jesus over for dinner. And there's nothing wrong with being invited over for dinner. Actually, it was in one essence was considered to be an honor to be invited by a Pharisee over for dinner. We don't know for sure, but more than likely this probably would have occurred in anticipation of the upcoming Sabbath, a time in which you would invite a special guest, especially from the Pharisees' point of view, and that guest would sort of lead you in a discussion and teaching about God's Word. That's what was taking place. Jesus was invited by Simon. And the Pharisees were still a little unsure about Jesus because they wanted to hear a little bit more what Jesus was saying. They didn't quite understand everything that Jesus was proclaiming. So while they're reclining at the tables, something strange occurs, or something interesting. A woman off the street walks in. And the only thing we know about this woman off the street, so to speak, is that Luke describes her as a sinful woman. You're left up to your imagination what her sin may have been, but it would have been quote-unquote obvious. This was a sinful woman. And so the sinful woman goes up to Jesus and starts crying and starts wiping his feet with her tears, using the hair, and then eventually pours perfume on him. And the Pharisee is probably thinking to himself, what is going on here? Why is Jesus, if he is a prophet, he should know what this woman's life is like. Why is he allowing her to do these things to him and touch him? Jesus, being true man and true God, knew Simon's heart. And so Jesus starts off by saying, Simon, I have something to tell you. Now notice Simon's response here. Even though he's questioning Jesus at the moment, he still says, tell me, teacher. He's still at least entertaining somewhat of a thought that Jesus could be the teacher here, that he could still be the prophet. He shows that sign of respect. So Jesus goes into a little bit of a story. Verse 41, two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replies, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Jesus says, you have judged correctly. Now, Simon was probably struck to the heart. What was Jesus doing as a comparison here? Taking a look at Simon's perceived sinfulness or lack thereof, and he was comparing himself with that sinful woman, he immediately was thinking from God's point of view, he was the better person. What was Jesus saying in his example? Who would love the money letter more? The one with the bigger debt canceled. Sort of tipping the hand to the quote-unquote sinful woman. This was probably earth-shattering. You got to imagine, the Pharisees have spent their whole life trying to keep the law of God, trying to be perfect, trying to live that perfect life, and also condemning other people who have not lived that perfect life. And now Jesus is basically saying, guess what? This woman who has her sins forgiven now would love more than even Simon. The rest of the Pharisees around the table also got this message. Jesus then adds a little bit more. He turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, but notice you did not give me water for my feet. You did not give me a kiss. You did not pour oil on my head." If we truly realize who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Son of Man, He deserves all the honor and respect we can possibly give, but Simon failed to do this. But then points out to the woman, the quote-unquote sinful woman, this is what she did. "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." Now I just want to get into this "have been forgiven." Both in verse 47 and in 48, Jesus uses this word forgiveness as a verb and talks about it in a different type of sense. He talks about it in what's called a perfect passive. The perfect tense gives the nuance that her sins were already forgiven and continue to be forgiven in the present time. For us, that may be kind of startling. Mean her sinful past has been forgiven? The answer is yes. Our first reaction may be, well, what did she do to get that forgiveness? Well, what did she do? That's the interesting question. Did she hear some sermon from Jesus earlier on? Possibly. Did someone tell her about Jesus and how He has come to forgive sinners like tax collectors and like this woman? Possibly. But basically, she came to Jesus, Scripture doesn't say why, based on her faith. She knew that Jesus was there. And so she comes to Him and does these things. Now, was the act of her doing these things what prompted Jesus to forgive her? The answer is no. Because notice what Jesus says to her. Jesus does not say to her, because you did all these things, you cried, you wiped my feet, you poured perfume on me, that you are forgiven. No, He says to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. It was her faith relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that has saved her, not any of her works. So when people don't believe that there is forgiveness, unless that they do something, they start finding themselves in the same camp that Simon was in. But if they come before our Lord and Savior, seeking His grace and mercy, guess what? They have forgiveness. Because where was our forgiveness paid for? That's one of the things I love about the processional cross being right here next to the pulpit. Plain and simple, right there, when Jesus died on the cross, as that cross reminds us, that's when our sins were paid. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the price so that God looks at us not with wrath in His eyes, but He looks at us with love in His eyes, because He sees the person and work of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see our sin and our sinful human nature. However, this was probably very scandalous for the Pharisees. They were so used to trying to keep the law, and they thought that keeping the law would make them good in God's eyes. Paul, in our epistle reading, also alludes to this. He basically says, We cannot keep the law perfectly to appease God. We've come to this realization. Not that we give up the law completely, But we realize that we are only saved by God's grace through faith that He gives to us. So we come this day taking a look at what the woman has done and what Jesus' response to her is. And now I have to ask you that question. Do you have forgiveness? Are you assured 100% that you are forgiven by God's grace through faith? Basically, I'm trying to say that God has given you that faith, and because He has given you that faith and you have not rejected it, you are forgiven. Because notice what Simon did. Simon had a hard time with this concept. Simon knew where that woman had come from, knew that woman to be a sinner, and he couldn't get past that, thinking, how could God, or a good prophet of God, accept this woman? Plain and clearly, Jesus came for sinners. If we haven't sinned, then we don't need God's grace. The better question I would have loved to ask Simon at that point is, do you consider yourself a sinner? Now, let me do a little bit of another comparison with our text for today. We may remember that when Jesus was eating the Last Supper, so to speak, He was reclining, eating the Passover dinner with His disciples. He did what? He took bread and He took wine. He said, "This is My body, this is My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me," and also attaches the forgiveness of sins to it. Let me read from Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 28. "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body.' And He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" We have this eating going on, this fellowship, this table fellowship we often talk about. It was kind of interesting. The host of this fellowship invited Jesus. Eating now with Jesus gives us great analogies to the Lord's Supper. Because what occurs when we come to the altar rail? We receive, yes, the bread and the wine, but also the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But Simon missed something. He missed the forgiveness of sins that Jesus alone provides. He was looking to man's work to acquire forgiveness instead of looking to God for forgiveness. Strangely enough, the one who invited Jesus didn't receive forgiveness. However, the uninvited guest, the quote-unquote sinner, was forgiven by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not everyone who comes to the Lord's table gets forgiveness of sins. Why not? Because do they want it? Do they desire it? Do they understand that it's there? There are many people who sit there and say the forgiveness of sins isn't there with the bread and the wine. I can show you counselors of church denominations that teach that. Or other denominations that'll teach you've got to do something first to earn that forgiveness. Again, like Simon, they miss the point. God gives that forgiveness freely, not by anything we have done, by what He has done. Again, Jesus teaches a little bit later on in Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 26. He says, "Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But He will say, saying to you, 'I do not know you, where you come from. Depart from Me, all you workers of unrighteousness.'" Workers of unrighteousness basically is leading to the concept and to the point of those people who are trying to earn their own forgiveness, who are not trusting in what our Lord and Savior Himself provides. You see, we may sit there and judge Simon and the Pharisees and saying, "Okay, Pharisees, you haven't gotten a clue in life. You keep judging other people, but you fail to realize God's grace and His mercy." But how often in our own lives do we sometimes question the forgiveness of sins? Do you got forgiveness? Do you have that forgiveness that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And are you assured 100% that because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven? Again, if you say yes, then great and wonderful. Come to the Lord's table and receive this forgiveness in with and under the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. Unfortunately, our sinful human nature kicks in and starts saying, can I have complete forgiveness for this sin or that sin? What if I haven't confessed it? Pastor, you don't know how bad that sin was. I go back to our text. The woman was a sinner. Luke doesn't go into the description of what kind of sin, nor does it matter. The key here is not the amount of sin or the degree of sin. It's where are you going for the answer? She went to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the answer. She got forgiveness. When we come before our Lord and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive me. We come before our Lord seeking that forgiveness that He provides. Guess what? We've got that forgiveness. Don't let anyone take that forgiveness away from you, like the Pharisees wanted to do, and add something else to the place. Don't let anyone deny that forgiveness when we come and eat at the Lord's table today. Be assured that yes, because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, because of His death and resurrection, He died for the forgiveness of all our sins. So we don't want to reject this forgiveness either, or question, can God forgive sins? The answer is, yes, God can, and He does forgive the sins of sinners. So on this day, we ask the Lord to remind us that, yes, we have fallen short of our... We have sinned. We have failed God. But we come not because of anything we have done. We come because of what Christ has done to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come seeking the forgiveness that He alone provides. And because He provides it, we have it. So on this day, if someone asks you the question, you got forgiveness? Answer it by saying, yes, I am assured 100% I am forgiven because Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. God the Father raised Him from the dead, and I believe it because God gave me this gift of faith. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.